Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Reality Is. As always, it's Noor. And today, I'm here to talk about a full week of Bravo content and probably a little bit of Taylor Swift with Van, the host of the Best Week Ever podcast. Hi, Van.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So we're going to talk about all of the shenanigans on Bravo, which is like, I think this is the first episode in a while that I've done that's not a single bit of housewife. It's all non-housewife Bravo stuff.
I know. We're having a bit of a fallout of not having our housewives just because we've been getting so much news on the side about our housewives and not having any show on. Are you excited about New Jersey, by the way?
Okay, let's talk about that for just a second, because you're a Jersey girl. I'm a Jersey girl. We always get excited about Jersey because of just like I think it's just like our proximity to it.
I'm always interested to see where they're going.
Exactly. I'm always like, oh, they're probably taking, you know, 21 somewhere, or they're taking like, you know, they're on the back road on 202 driving down somewhere. Like, I don't know where Teresa lives now. Where does she live? Does she live in Central Jersey now?
Oh, does she? I wouldn't be surprised, because I don't think she lives like in Franklin Lakes anymore.
She's definitely not in Franklin Lakes. I mean, that house that she lives in now, if she bought it in North Jersey, she probably bought it for like $15 million. Like, you can't get a house like that in North Jersey for less than like at least $10 million. So I don't know where – I don't think Louis has that kind of money, obviously, and Teresa doesn't have that kind of money. But your question was, am I excited about New Jersey? New Jersey is one of those shows where like – so it's year-round. It's year-round with Jersey. They never are off because the blogs are always blogging. Like there are websites dedicated strictly to New Jersey, which I don't think that there are other – shows that like have bloggers that are strictly New Jersey reporters.
Yeah, their fan base is really wild.
Yeah. And so recently, I guess there's all this stuff going on. I think your mom is watching, or your moms are watching. They posted like a little recap. And essentially what's going on in Jersey right now is that there were these bloggers, these social media accounts that Teresa was always talking to. And they were super close to her. And apparently something happened at BravoCon. There's like, unfortunately, like a miscarriage involved. But essentially, Louis yelled at somebody who I think was like previously chummy with Teresa. And Teresa didn't defend that person, or they didn't come to like comfort that person. Jen Aiden got involved in the middle. And then there was like these screenshots of text messages from Jen Aiden and a blogger being like, I sent you a really nice stroller. Like, why are you ignoring me? Just like stuff like that. Like, there's just a lot going on. And I think it's all related to like Teresa is losing her fan base, or at least like the major tree hugger accounts. Like there are dedicated tree hugging blogs out there that will push pro Teresa, anti Melissa information out into the ether. There's one account in particular called Melissa's Old Nose.
I actually follow that one.
So apparently there's been a quote mass exodus of tree huggers, and Melissa's Old Nose was one of them. And apparently like that's what's going on. But then also I wasn't sure because I was so confused. There's, if you go on Twitter, there's multiple things happening. There's like that. And then also Dave Quinn was alluding to something and then disappeared. And so we have no idea. I'm like, is this related to Jersey? Is this what he was talking about? Like I can't imagine Dave Quinn of fucking People magazine being like, oh yeah, the bloggers are fighting with Teresa. So then they're like, it was related to Beverly Hills, maybe. He said, gird your loins 3 days ago. And here we are girding.
Oh, my God. This is like territorial Salt Lake City if like Monica was still around, because she used to be like, I wouldn't say a blogger, but like an Instagram person who spilt tea with the housewives. But like for New Jersey to mesh along, and maybe we would probably get a storyline, I doubt it, just because they wouldn't break the fourth wall like that.
No, and because it's already filmed. The season's filmed. It's over. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen when the show airs, but I'm still going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. 75% of it is just going to be like them going from place to place. Hi, hellos. They're going to get a lot of like men scene, the husband scenes. It's going to be very little content, but I'm still going to watch it because of the proximity to me.
Yeah.
Are you excited for Jersey?
A part of me isn't, but a part of me is interested to watch this season just because I feel like the Housewives and Bravo in general has been shaking up. And I think the Housewives are literally like shaking in their boots, because if they don't give a good season, they're probably going to be recasted or just rebooted, because I think Bravo has had enough with some of these ladies' dramas. And I think Jersey is definitely up there with the continuously Melissa versus Teresa. And yeah, Dolores gives the same storyline. Like, we're just kind of, I want new meat in New Jersey, and like true, real meat. Not this like Italian mob kind of stuff, you know?
I mean, I think you're at such a good point about Dolores. Like, we're like, oh, Dolores has a new boyfriend, so like things are good. And again, we're back to the same storyline with Dolores, is like, I have a boyfriend and he won't marry me. And it's like, well, if this was the case, we could have just done with David, not this fucking weird looking man who is, as I've told you before, and the streets of New Jersey have told us, is like not a great guy. So like, I don't know. Anyway, there's also rumors that Beverly Hills might be getting a major shakeup, that apparently Kyle's not coming back. And if you believe in how the media, it works towards these people and how news goes, there were rumors that Kyle was being told that if she doesn't share her relationship with Morgan, that she's not going to be allowed back on the show. Like 3 days later, there was a story about Kyle being shaken up because her daughter had a burglary at her house. And look, is it possible that Farrah had a real burglary? Of course, it's possible. But how closely those two things came out in the media makes me wonder, like, did Kyle stage a robbery at her daughter's house so that she could stay on the show without sharing her relationship? I mean,
I would not be surprised. I mean, Dorit is also on the verge of whether she's going to be coming back or not. And we all know why she came back 2 seasons ago, because of that. Burglar. I don't know. I don't want to like allude to that. All allegedly.
Yeah. If getting burgled is going to be the thing that keeps your Bravo contract, I guess, like, the more power to you. Burgle away, I guess. Okay.
So no, but you know, Bravo's pissed off with. Oh, sorry.
No, go interrupt. Ahead.
But you know, Bravo's like pissed off with Kyle, because we're watching Buying Beverly Hills and we're getting all this content and more information about their family than we've ever had these 13 seasons, I think, because it's always been about the people around them, never actually inside the circle of their daughters and Mo. And Bravo's pissed.
Bravo. Yeah. And I don't blame him. And, you know, Andy has favorite housewives, and Kyle's one of them. Teresa's one of them. Giselle is one of them. And I feel like if he runs out of patience for you, like, you know, it's like being in any other corporate job where your boss is like, we're family. You're my favorite. But the minute that you like stop doing your job, your boss is going to be like, okay, well, fuck off. I'm going to replace you with somebody else because I only care about the bottom line. And Andy needs the money for the cocaine, allegedly. All right, let's talk about this week's Bravo content. Are you watching Summer House, Martha's Vineyard?
Yes, I am. And I'm actually loving it, just because I've been wanting season 2 to come out ever since season 1 ended.
Yeah, I'm excited they're getting a reunion, which is very exciting. You know, ask, believe, receive. They got it. We manifested that for them. Very exciting. I will say that this season, like, not a lot is happening, but it's still chaotic enough where it's like still chaotic enough. Everybody's still beautiful enough where I'm still entertained. And I think that that type of reality TV has not come to us in a really long time. Like, I watch a lot of these shows, and like literally my entire brand is that I point out all the problematic stuff. Summer House Martha's Vineyard is one of those places where I'm like, yes, could some of them be problematic? Sure. But like, they squash it pretty quickly where I'm like, all right, let's move on. Like, I'm not spent, days are not gone where I'm thinking about what a piece of shit these people are. Like, yes, does Alex suck? Of course. Yes, he's a fuckboy. He's terrible. Amir is giving me the ick also this season. Nick was called out for getting too handsy with the girls. But it's like, you know, they say it, they do it, and then they move on. And then they're like, let's get drunk. Let's just hang out. Bria's going to get drunk and storm off anyway. So, guys, let's just go out and have a good time. They did like a hoedown of some sort. I'll be honest, I'm not a horse girl. I'm not a farm girl. I don't, when people are on farms, on reality television shows, my brain blanks out. I'm like, well, I don't know what's happening.
You didn't get excited though with the whole Cowboy Carter. I got excited seeing them all in their getup. I was like, what perfect timing.
I mean, yes, the memes are on fire. Of course, very great. But when I'm watching it on TV, I'm just like, you know what? Feels hot. Feels hot. Those shoes, I don't know how comfortable they are. Like, it's a lot. And you know what I always think about whenever they're on a farm? It stinks. It smells bad.
It smells. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys look fucking fabulous, and you're going to step in horse shit. So I guess good for you. Jasmine spills the most unsurprising news ever to everybody that she is with child.
I mean, the dead giveaway was during the horse ranch, especially yes. For Amir. Isn't he from Texas? Shouldn't he know? Like, that would be like a first clue, like, oh, she just doesn't want to ride it. It's like, no, you ride horses. You would know that if you're pregnant, you don't really want to ride a horse.
Amir's an idiot. He's very
he
dumb.
Is. He's I don't feel bad for his stupid. Girlfriend.
No, I don't feel bad for his girlfriend is also a weirdo.
I know. The fact that she literally, they FaceTime each other to just look at each other, like, with, like, deadpan faces, like, pissed at each other.
Yeah, and, like, that is, like, a total giveaway of, like, you're not securing your relationships if, like, your boyfriend is just calling you just to stare at your face and, like, nothing is happening. It's, like, the way, this is going to make me sound like such an old person, but, you know, like, nowadays... Like, high schoolers, when they have boyfriends and girlfriends, they just, like, call each other on FaceTime, and they're on each other's FaceTime all day long. So they'll go to sleep with their FaceTimes on. And I'm like, get a grip.
That is very high school, because that was high school me. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that wasn't me because I didn't have FaceTime, you know, when I was in high school, but... I was coming home immediately and checking who signed on my AIM. And if the special sign on, like, because, you know, you set the alert for your crush. It's like a different ding when they sign on. Like, yes. Yeah. And then as soon as you saw that they signed on, you left, put your away message on so that they thought that you were busier than you were. And then you can't move your mouse because you have to make sure that it looks like you're actually busy and not just that you have your away message on.
I used to be so diligent about making sure I was active, not active, for like an hour period of time to not look like I was desperate. I remember those days vividly. And yes, I did not have FaceTime, but I did have a sidekick where I would stay. In senior year, my boyfriend at the time was a freshman in college. So, of course, I was like glued to the phone every night. And the sidekick, like, I don't know what happened to T-Mobile, but every time it reached a certain hour, like 7 hours, it would just hang up. And I would wake up and I'd be like, you hung up on me. finding out that it was actually T-Mobile that was hanging us up.
T-Mobile was like, you know what? Get a grip. I think 7 hours is a long time. It's like it didn't have the technology of being like, are you still watching? Like, are you still here the way Netflix does?
Yeah.
So they were just like, let's just hang up. Nobody's on the phone for this long. We tapped in. It's just silence.
Yeah.
Also, it's so funny that both of us talk about like this, like these hoops that we jump through to try to make it look like we weren't actively online. Meanwhile, you and I are like two of the most chronically online people in existence. And here we are. Any other thoughts about Summer House, Martha's Vineyard before we talk about Vanderpump Rules?
Other that they're super hype. I feel this season they're super hyper aware of how they're being perceived, being looked at. The fact that Nick had to say out loud in the restaurant, like, look how you're looking. I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, you're making yourself look like everyone's looking kind of thing. Yeah. They're just more aware of how they're being looked at than actually like trying to make a season out of the series. Cause I feel like Noelle's the only one that's actually not caring how she looks like, cause she's a newbie. Maybe. Yeah. And she's just like going with the flow. But everyone else is like, especially Alex, where he is like the epitome of fuckboy and just trying to come off like, oh, like I'm just really nice and an empath. And it's like, dude, you like your true colors are showing.
He's terrible. He's just tall and gorgeous, but he's not a good person, ladies. And I love you, Summer, but you got to stop talking about how he was inside of you. We get it. You fucked. We all know what happened. We'll have sex. Somebody goes inside of another person, depending on what the setup is. But we need to stop talking about that. We got it. Yeah. Don't paint the picture for us. That's okay.
But I'm ready to move on to Vanderpump.
Okay. This is Vanderpump Rules. Former Sir Server, Jax Taylor, showed up. And you know what? As soon as he came on, I was like, why is he here? What is this? And James is like, we're going to do a Jax Taylor see you next Tuesday. And I was like, why? What's going on here?
That and for Lisa to play dumb and be like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, girl, you executive produce this show. Like, what are you talking about? You executive produce The Valley. Like, you brought him back. Don't tell me that you didn't want this man around when there's contracts to be made to make this show. Like, you guys have a relationship.
Yeah. And I love that Lisa was like, oh, Jaxy Waxy, what are you doing here? And then she like makes up a word that he, everybody knows he doesn't know what that word means. He's an idiot. But then she also like at the end of it, and I think she thought that this was going to get edited out of the scene. But she goes to Jax, she's like, you know, I just had to like say that to you to give you like a hard time. Like, she's almost like, now we can move on. And it's like, I genuinely think she did not think the editors were going to keep that in, because she kind of said the quiet part out loud of like, I just had to give you a little bit of shit so people don't think that I'm problematic. And it's like, spoiler alert, Lisa, we know you're problematic. It's okay.
Yeah, no, you are a male sympathizer, Lisa. We all know it. Because the fact that we haven't seen, not since like the first couple episodes, maybe, we have not really seen a sit down with Lisa and Ariana, just them two together. It's always been Sandoval and Lisa.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think we've seen it at all. Did we see one at all this season? I know we saw one last season.
Maybe in the beginning with something about her with Kate. She's always with someone. Yeah. She and like Sandoval has these stupid one-on-ones that nobody wants to watch with Lisa. And it's like, why isn't Ariana, or why isn't Lisa reaching out to Ariana for a one-on-one? Like,
that's a really good point. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But it's because anybody with sense knows that Lisa Vanderpump is a male sympathizer. Like, she, that's why she loves Sheena so much, because Sheena is also a male sympathizer. And that's why she's always like, yeah, and Lala's a self-sympathizer. That's the only thing she cares about. So Jax shows up for See You Next Tuesday. And as much as he sucks, I will say he's really good at stirring the pot. Like, he hears one conversation, walks over, shares that conversation. And I'm going to say something that I'm a little bit ashamed of. If Jax Taylor – okay, no. I know people in my real life like Jax Taylor. Okay. And shockingly, they're some of the most beloved pieces of shit that we all tolerate. And I don't love that about us as a people. But like, there is this thing about Jax, which is that he is an asshole, but he admits that he's an asshole. And then he says sorry. And then you're like, I have no choice but to, like, I guess, move on. The thing I love about Katie is that Katie's like, I don't care that you said that you're sorry. I just don't like you and I don't want to be around you and I don't think that that's enough and I'm allowed to have my own boundaries. And like, people think that that's bitchy, but I actually think Katie's like such a mature person in that way to be like, there's no reason for me to have you around in my life, you know? But mm-hmm. I know so many people. I know somebody like this. I know a few people who are like Jax, who people keep around because they're like, well, he said he's sorry, but he's a good time. And I think like, as a society, especially women, are supposed to sort of just like be like, well, okay, well, he's just boys will be boys and like move on. But like, shout out to Katie for being like, no, not doing this.
Yeah, she set a straight boundary of being like, and it's so funny how like, she's like, I stopped having my relationship with Brittany because your husband is a disgusting pig. It's very relatable with Jasmine, you know, in going back to Martha's Vineyard. Like, this is what happens when your husband sucks.
Yes.
Like, you lose friends. Those people that used to be close to you who can't stand your husband, they're not going to stick around any longer.
Yeah.
And don't expect them to. Like, yeah. The whole Brittany, like, I don't know why we're not friends. It's like, I can't stand her. It's what like, is the problem on? Is your husband.
Okay. Also, one of my best friends is from Kentucky. She's born and raised in Kentucky. She's like three generations into Kentucky. She told me about the Versailles castle before Brittany got married there. Okay. I know Kentucky people. Okay. Her husband is like a third generation, like Kentuckian. Okay. They don't talk like this, but
Brittany, I know they don't talk like that.
Brittany is the only person. Like, what is this? She just shows up, and I don't know if it's like, I know somebody. I think it was Ben on Watch a Crappin' said. I think it's one of those things where Brittany is like overdoing it to the point because if she doesn't overdo it, she's gonna start crying because I think she's so fucking miserable. So she's like all the time because she's like. It's like that nervous laugh you have when really you want to cry. That's what it is. But yeah. And also Brittany like constantly excuses her shitty husband and then is like, I don't know why nobody wants to be friends with me. Like, because nobody wants to be around your shitty husband who's going to make terrible like it. Women, when you are uncomfortable around people, it's okay to not want to be around them. And I think like if your friend's husband makes you uncomfortable, it's okay to not want to be around that person. Your friend made a choice to be mm-hmm. with that person and you can still love your friend from afar and decide, I don't want to tolerate that person being in my life because they're toxic. That's okay. And I think like we don't embrace that enough because we just feel like, well, I feel bad for her. Like she still needs me as a friend because she has a shitty husband. It's like, no, that's
no good for Katie. Cause yeah. like, that's also a energy drain on Katie too.
Yep. Absolutely. Like, Ariana, this episode, you know, is doing great. Ariana is not in the mess. And we're seeing what happens if people just give her a little bit of time, right? Like, Ariana has a conversation with Schwartz where she's kind of like laughing about it. She's like, oh, you're an idiot. Like, you're going to get stuck in that mortgage, this $20,000 mortgage with this idiot. Yeah. See, this is why I haven't been able – I'm not just, like, taking his money and leaving because you guys are all idiots. You don't understand how finances work. And this is what I'm trying to explain to you. Like, this is why – like, it's just – it's so nice to see, like, that this is what Ariana can bring to the table if you just give her a little bit of time. I'm still very confused about what had to have happened at that reunion for Lala – and also Sheena to like flip so harshly the way that they have with Ariana. Cause even this episode, like Ariana's hugging Sheena at the end. Like she's telling her these guys are trash. Like you don't have to fuck with them. Like all this stuff. What do you think happened with Lala and Ariana? Like what are your theories about what happened between Lala, Ariana and Sheena that's brought us to where we are today?
I am so confused and I feel like I'm Katie right now, which is, if you guys know me, I'm not that big of a Katie fan, but I am turning around with her because of just how she's been blossoming on becoming her own self. But like, I'm not getting it. The fact that Lala said fraudulent, she yeah. used the word fraudulent for the reunion, like someone's being very fraudulent. And she was alluding to, say, Katie and Ariana. And I was like, is it something about her? Is she like not, is, does she know information about like, you know, the lawsuit that they're not saying out loud with Penny?
Yeah.
Like, and if so, that's none of your business.
Yeah.
And I also, I don't know if you've also read up Coachella happened, Allie and James were there, and apparently Ariana was with Dana, Katie's co-host, and Sheena was with Lala. And when they all got together, there was a bit of a tension, apparently Ariana and Sheena.
Oh,
so like, I feel like Shishu is all on Lala's side, which I'm, listen, Shishu has been Sheena. I've been like giving her a bit of empathy and sympathy towards her this season because she is Sheena. She's never changed. You know what I mean? But for Lala, who's continuously, I feel like she's influencing Sheena in some certain type of way. And I'm just like, Sheena, beware, warning. Because if Ariana decides to not come back, who do you think Lala is going to start producing and start having beef with?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because they want the show to be alive.
Yeah. And then she, and because that's ultimately what Lala cares about, right? Lala cares about producing a television show. And she keeps being like, oh, you guys aren't being real. You guys aren't being real, while simultaneously stirring shit up because she's valuing the television show over her actual real life. Did you see that? She went on her Amazon Live and was like crying and saying, like, this is my real life. And like, I need everybody to like, so she said a bunch of shit. She said a bunch of egregious shit about Ariana, about the show, about everybody on the show, all this stuff. She said, you know, she did her like badass, bad guy, finger gun
pop,
shit.
Pop, pop,
pop. Pop, pop, pop. You trying to get popped. She did that. And then everybody on the internet was like, Lala's a fucking loser. And she was like, I don't pay attention to the internet. I don't care. And then like literally 2 days later was like, I just want you guys to meet, like, I just like, need to take a step back because, like, it's really hard, you guys. And it's like, I think she
and you can't feel bad.
No, I don't feel bad for Lala. Lala
because she did it all to herself.
She is the biggest victim to her own actions, like, every single time. And I think Lala thinks that every season she's going to look like the voice of reason. She's going to look like the one who's the smartest. But the problem is that, Lala, you go too hard one way or the other. Like Sheena, so many people have said this. Sheena, for whatever she is, she's consistently on the fence. Sheena is consistently Sheena. And Lala, you flip-flop too fucking hard. You're on one side, you're like so mad at Rachel, that you're like screaming at her at the reunion, calling her a hoe. And then the next season, you're like so deeply anti-Ariana. It just doesn't make any sense. And it's not fun necessarily to watch because it's like it's a type of unpredictability that isn't entertaining to me. It's annoying.
It's so annoying. And I like, she's the only one going out on these interviews, like doing these Amazon Lives. I haven't heard a peep other than Katie saying like, I'm confused, I don't understand why Lala is acting the way she is online. I haven't heard a peep from Ariana or Katie saying anything about Lala. And honestly, I think it's because Lala's pregnant and they don't want to stir anything up.
Yeah.
Because who's getting riled up is herself.
Yeah. And I think it's also because like they're smart about their words. Like Lala is not smart about her words. Lala is actually not very smart to begin with. She had a baby with Randall Emmett. So like I don't have any sympathy for Lala. I wish you best of luck. I wish you a very healthy pregnancy. But like, you can't be like, she flew out to New York to see Ariana opening in Chicago. She was like so into, she was so supportive of Ariana and like the reunion films, and suddenly it's something else. And I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it's just one of those things where like Lala heard that Ariana wasn't like thrilled about her filming scenes with Tom and like took, you know, great offense to it because Lala's a crazy person. She's a lunatic.
Yeah. Like, and the whole episode, this last episode with Sheena and Tom, I'm like, yeah, Sheena, this is the person that you want to be friends with? The one who, like, literally whenever you get in an argument, he's just going to take whatever that's held against you and, like, throw it in your face because that's going to be your friendship.
Yeah.
That's what you're fighting for.
What did you think about those exchange of words? First of all, do you care for the song Apples? How You Like Them Apples? I heard it once.
I mean, it's good, but I'm not streaming it.
I don't even think I streamed it. I think I watched the video or the song clip somewhere on TikTok and I was like, this is a dumb song. And then I like moved on. But Tom being so deeply upset about the song and like, oh, you guys are like profiting off of my misery. Okay, well, let's, if you're going to bring up Sheena's affair that she had 20 years ago and say, you know, it's fucked up to profit off of something terrible that happened. Well, you actually, Tom, have been profiting off of Sheena's affair, because if Sheena never slept with Brandy Glanville's husband, then you wouldn't be on a television show. You'd still be doing awkward fucking like ads and, you know, bussing tables at Sir. So who's, you know, profiting off of who, Tom?
It makes me so upset because, like, how do you feel about the whole thing about Sheena saying that I was 21, you were 42, but we all know that Sheena knew that Eddie was married. You know how people are trying to bring that into the mix? And I'm like, but she was 21 and wasn't Eddie like in his 30s?
Yeah, listen, your frontal lobe is not developed. I don't hold anything against you, okay? And I also don't trust you. If your frontal lobe is not developed, I also don't trust you. So I'm okay with Sheena doing whatever. Like, all these people fucked around. Tom got somebody in Vegas pregnant. Like, let's be real about what we did in our early 20s. All of these people did fucked up shit in their early 20s. And the thing is, like, what Tom really could, I feel like he's on the edge of bringing up the fact that, like, Ariana, why are you so upset about Raquel or Rachel being with me when you did the same thing with me when I was with Kristen? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's on the edge of saying something like that because he is that stupid where he would bring up anything from the past to try to make himself look like less of a villain. But ultimately, he's an idiot and he doesn't understand that, like, you know, what he did was terrible. And it just happened. Like, it just 3 months ago. We're still, like, annoyed with... We're still annoyed with, like, stuff we watched on, like, Beverly Hills, which has been, like, 4 months now or 5 months since it's aired. Imagine something like this happening in your real life and then being forced to film with your ex and act like everything is fine. Like, and it sucks. And he's just, like, he's still riding high on the everybody else fucked up, so I get to fuck up too and I should be forgiven thing. But, like, he thinks, like, oh, because Jax is, like, the type of person that, like, does shitty things and throws his arm up, that he should also be treated that same way. And it's like, but say what you will about Jax. Jax is a self-proclaimed piece of shit. Tom, you don't admit that you're a piece of shit. You think that you're a good person and you're not. And that's the big difference here.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. Because when he brought the whole Sheena being in her 20s doing that, I was like, that is not the same story. And that was literally... 2006 is slowly coming up to 20 years ago. And we're talking about something that happened within this year with you and Ariana and Rachel Raquel, who is 28 at the time, not 21.
Yeah, she's 28. She's the frontal cortex, the frontal lobe has been developed. So we can't use that excuse anymore. How did the episode end? Oh, it just ended with Sheena crying into Ariana's arms after, you know, screaming at Tom. I mean, I did enjoy it. It was very entertaining to see her get so activated and put her fingers in Tom's face and be irritated with him. So I was like, okay, glad. I'm glad this is all happening. This is and also I think all these people are getting so worked up because they keep giving him chances and he keeps proving himself to be a piece of shit. So it's like, okay, well, you learned your lesson, kind of, not really. Because you obviously haven't learned your lesson.
I truly think that Tom is paying off some of the producers and writers, because the fact that we had a whole Tom and Tom getting tattoos and the tragedy midlife crisis, I was just not here for it. I'm like, who is actually enjoying Tom and Tom being together right now? Because I'm not.
What other thoughts do you have about Vanderpump Rules before we move on to the Valley?
I think that was it.
Okay. Are you liking The Valley?
I am not watching The Valley, but I've been watching clips and listening to Watch What Crappens because, and I actually saw the last episode because I wanted to come on here and be fully prepared because shit has really hit the fan now. They are all terrible people, except, but I still have a side eye on this couple, Dan and Nia. Are probably the only couple where I'm just like, they're on a different TV show.
I am always surprised every week how much I enjoy watching the show. I partially hate myself for it. I don't understand like what to do with myself when I'm like giggling and cracking up like watching these dum-dums. But one of the reasons why I love The Valley is because everybody's bullshit is pretty transparent. Like, I don't think even Danny and Nia, like you said, side eyes there. It's pretty obvious that everybody's a bad person. Like, you don't become friends with somebody like Jax Taylor and still maintain a good standing as a person, which is ironic because I did say early on in the episode that I am real life friends with somebody like Jax Taylor. So maybe I'm also problematic, but but I love that everybody's masks are off. So you, I'm sure you saw the clip of the party at the what did you call it? He didn't call it a Capri. He called it a Capri, the Capri party. And how he yelled at Kristen, Jesse yelled at Kristen and all that stuff. This episode, that fight at Jax's hair thinning product party, that fight came out of nowhere. It was very obvious that, like, I almost feel like producers said, like, guys, something's going to go down this episode. So, like, everybody really be on, you know, be on watch. And, like, nothing actually was going to happen until Jesse started slamming the table. Kristen said, I'm uncomfortable and I'm leaving. He's so aggressive. And they're like, you called him aggressive? And it's like, well, he is. He's being aggressive. And then that fight in the hallway, you know that Michelle doesn't have any friends. Her nipple is out. Nobody's telling her, sis, your nipple is out. Like, it's so chaotic. But I think it's hilarious because crazy Kristen Doty looks like the hero at the end of it. Kristen's like, yeah, it's not my, I'm not the one, I'm not wrong. Look at this.
I really do think you're so right about the producers just lingering, saying that something's going to happen. And I think Jasmine was supposed to be the whistleblower because Jax was telling her at the bar, like, I'm going to set this little bit of information about Michelle not like wanting to have a divorce in 2 months. And Jasmine was supposed to bring that up to Janet. But like Jasmine being a good friend that she is was like, I'm not going to bring this up. And yeah, it was weird. I wonder if someone said something to Jesse because he was quiet the whole entire time during the dinner. And yeah, what are your thoughts on, I mean, like, we all know where they're at right now, but Jesse and Michelle, because like, I literally thought there couldn't be a worse person than Jax. And then here comes Jesse.
Oh, he sucks so bad. And you know what? Michelle sucks too. Okay. She Number does. One, Michelle sucks because she did think that don't say gay laws are like okay and not that bad. Okay. And she is somebody who's like, if you are a Republican, what's the big deal? And she is somebody who's like, the worst thing in the world you can call me is racist because I'm a brown woman. No, you can still be racist as a brown woman. And she's married. She chose to marry somebody like Jesse. You are not a good person if you choose to marry somebody like Jesse. Jesse's very straightforward. And everybody's like, so last week on the episode, she was like, they were having this like therapy moment where he's like got tears in his eyes and he's like, I really want this marriage to work. And she's like very stone faced. And everybody's like, I feel so bad for him. Like, she's, you know, he's married to this like very cold woman. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think that the thing that they keep saying is like, oh, why are we acting like we don't know what's going on in Jesse and Michelle's marriage? Is because they probably were going to get divorced before the show started filming. Jax and Brittany were like, hold off on it. Wait until let's go on the show. We need a couple. We can't have you guys getting divorced. We need you to film together. Let's try. We'll get you a life coach. That's why Jax used to be like, how's therapy going? Because like, it's probably somebody that Jax rolled in. And like, I think that that's all why Kristen and Luke and everybody keeps being like, why aren't we really being honest about what's going on with Jesse and Michelle here? Like, and I think that those two already came into the show being ready to get divorced. But I think that Jesse thought that coming on the show and putting on this sweet, sad puppy boy shit thing in front of Michelle was going to maybe make her want to stay with him. And like, it's not. You're a crazy person. And then also, he gets so triggered and he gets so upset every time Luke says something, because Luke is right. Like, Luke also is a terrifying man. Like, Kristen's boyfriend, Luke, he keeps being like, I need to, like, be Katniss Everdeen out here in L.A. And it's like, do you want to just, like, murder people and hide their bodies? Like, what are we doing?
The fact that he has a place in Colorado with no electricity, like, the Postmates, I totally understand that part. But, like, when she said he just got electricity, I was like, so this man lives in a cave in the middle of nowhere? And he comes to L.A. and comes and go to L.A.? Like, this is, like, Ted Bundy vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A while ago, Arthi and I were talking about how we think these people are voting. And we were like, Luke is for sure voting for RFK Jr. Like, Luke is the type. And, like, he's so terrifying. But every time he says to Jesse, he's like, you're mad because of your wife. You're not mad at us. Like, Kristen didn't do anything. Jesse goes off even more. And I love the fact that they put those hot mic moments in with the producer. One, the producer keeps telling Kristen to stay. Kristen's like, I'm not going to get involved here. I don't want to do anything. I'm not going to blow this up. And it almost feels like the producer's telling her, like, you should say something. You should tell them what's going on, you know? And she's like, I'm not going to. And then Jesse says, I will bury you. But when Michelle shows up, he's like, Kristen said she's going to bury me with the information that she knows about you. And it's like, we just heard what you said. And so I love that they caught all that, because Jesse's such a piece of shit. But golly, I am entertained. Okay. Unfortunately, I am entertained.
I know. I think it was you that said, if you go in the mindset of knowing that all of these people are really, really bad people, like, it actually makes the show not that bad. And that's how you got to go into it. Because if you're going into it thinking that you're personable or relating to one, you're not. Maybe Nia with the postpartum. Yeah. I, like, really felt for her on that. And I was like, see, this is the type of show, like, adulting should be about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, we're okay, when Housewives started and everybody was a piece of shit, we tolerated it differently because we didn't, like, give them, like, the social media following. And I think people should remember, like, watching these people on these TV shows, like, we are seeing it now in Summer House. Ultimately, their careers become this TV show and social media influencing. And if you don't want them to become famous and you don't want them to make money off of it, and you only want them to get paid whatever Bravo pays them, which is not a lot of money, you don't have to follow them on social media. Like, every time you follow them and you look them up, like, you, that's actually how you support them. So watching them on a TV show, I don't believe supports them. But then if you, like, go jump in and follow them and comment on their stuff and, like, idolize them, yeah, that's when you get into problematic supportive territory, right? But, like, we can watch these people's lives fall apart very happily. This man is obviously a lunatic. He almost chokes Brittany. Like, Michelle has no reaction to his aggression, which tells me, like, yikes, that's a problem. She's already out there with a new boyfriend now. So it's like, okay, great.
What was that all for?
Yeah. Honey, tuck your nipple back in and get back to the party. Your husband is crazy.
Yeah.
Summer House. Okay. Speaking of influencing, Summer House, we open back up at the alien party. And Lindsay has very clearly told Carl that you, sir, are doing nothing with your life. You are not crushing it. And I want to have babies. And when I'm home with my babies, I need to know that you're doing enough to keep our lights on. And let's talk about how Carl reacts to this. So other things happen in the show, but the next day Carl has this conversation with Kyle, and he's like, I didn't know Lindsay wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And it's like, I don't think Lindsay said she wants to be a stay-at-home mom. But I think Lindsay is concerned about the fact that she will have babies and she will go on maternity leave of some sort. She doesn't have those types of benefits where she's going to have like paid maternity leave. So she needs to make sure that any money she's not bringing in for 6 weeks or 6 months, you got it covered. But he's like, I was with Lindsay because she's like this like ambitious, you know, go-getter woman, independent woman. I didn't think she was going to want to be a stay-at-home mom. And it's like, oh, so you were just thinking that you were going to like, what, make money? Like she was going to always make money and you were going to like have all the time in the world to figure out his life? Like, and also, what did you think was going to happen after babies? That she was going to like put on her, you know, button-down like skirt suit and head back into the office with a briefcase? Like, are you dumb, Carl?
No, he's truly – I am totally on Lindsay's side about this, and I feel like a lot of people have been on, like, Carl's side throughout the season, and Lindsay really has been showing herself – has really been testing my limits on whether I should be rooting for her or not. But, yeah. Like, this conversation was real because, like, as a woman who does bear a lot in her career and make a lot – that can easily be taken away like that just because you do have a child.
Yeah.
And the fact that he does not get that because he – himself is so privileged enough to be handed careers throughout his life that he does not get that when you have a baby, like the wife, the woman in the situationship is a lot more different than the actual man. And that's why she's thinking ahead, saying like, hey, you're not working right now. And your mentality of work worries me if we're going to have a family.
Yeah. Literally nothing Lindsay said in that conversation was mean. And people are like, Lindsay's like this whole, I don't know. I don't know who said it, but there is this thing of, oh, Amanda Hunt, friend and comedian of the podcast. Like she said, there is this babying, this infantilization we do with like men where you have to like, you know, pick your best words to like tell a man that he needs to like be better because he has such, like, we got to be careful. And it's like, Lindsay doesn't need to be careful. Also, like, you know who you're married to or like you're going to get married to. Like later on that scene he has with his mom and stepdad, I fucking call such bullshit on it. Like he will never have the balls to get up and say the things that his mom and stepdad are saying because he's a coward ass fucking piece of shit. And like, those are all the things that he knows that they're going to say on camera. So he goes to their house and acts like, oh, this is so hard. It's so messy. Like, I don't know what to do. Meanwhile, like, you're doing this so that they can say the words that you're too chicken shit to fucking say out loud because you're such a spineless idiot.
That is calculating because we all know at the end that he gets a camera crew to come to break up with Lindsay. Spoiler alert. We all know this. But like, that is calculating. Saying like, hey, if I talk to my parents and they'll say it for me, like I don't have to do the mess. I don't like Carl.
Exactly. I don't like Carl either. And look, Lindsay is no saint. She's a fucking monster, okay?
Yeah.
She has made fun of his sobriety and all this stuff. But look, Lindsay got into a relationship with a guy who previously was a lost puppy with a addiction issue. And she thought, well, he's not going to have an addiction issue anymore, so maybe he'll get his shit together. And he didn't. He's still acting like a deadbeat with, like, an addiction problem. And it's like, okay, now you're sober, but you're still a deadbeat. You still don't really have a job. He's like, oh, like, what is she doing? Her company is closed, and now she's just influencing. Like, I'm also doing that, and, like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, but you're not doing it as well as she's doing it, so you need to make more money. Her thing is like, how are you going to make the money that I make when I have to stop working for a little while? Like, that's all she's saying. Bro, we don't have benefits, okay? Like, I don't have maternity leave. I just need to understand how you're going to fill that gap. And also, she paid $20,000 for a career coach for him. And he's still here being like, oh, I guess I could work at Loverboy again because they have these sodas.
That's what I mean. Like, he has the privilege to be like, oh, I'll just work for my friend. He'll help me out, even though that's not really what I want to do.
Yeah. It's like, well, you just see what his business is now?
Is it the life coaching?
It's life coaching and motivational speaking. I was like,
this is why men should not go to therapy. Actually, he didn't even go to therapy. He went to life coaching, which is, I think, is 10 times worse. It's just like, there's a joke from Claire from Celebrity Memoir Book Club. She always says, like, men should stop going to therapy because it's making them stronger. It's not making them break down and actually see what they're, like, contributing into our society. Because it's literally, it's this. It's Carl.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Lindsay's got a lot of wins here this episode because one, Carl is really showing his ass, and two, Danielle is just being the sloppiest slopster I've ever seen in my life. She makes Gabby cry. What did you think about this whole thing that happens where she makes Gabby cry? Paige and Amanda try to talk to her. She says some shit about how she's a CEO. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Your friend is crying. And Danielle just does not. She doesn't read the room. She fucks Balloon Guy, who, by the way, is like not that hot. And then she doesn't learn her lesson. And I was like, oh, okay. This is what Lindsay was talking about. Danielle's annoying.
Yeah, I am actually. So I have a really good friend that's close with Danielle in the real world. And I know. So, like, every time, and I've apparently partied with her back in my early 20s as well. But then again, I was not there if you met me in my 18 to 21 year old. But I know she's a nice person, but, like, the fact that she said, I'm a CEO, and I was like, a CEO of what, sweetie? A CEO of what? Because, like, and that doesn't even make you sound great. Like, it makes me want to know other people. It's like, your friend is crying in the bathroom. How about you just go in there and ask her, like, if she's okay? Yeah, no, that was such a bad look on Danielle.
And she wasn't just crying. She was hyperventilating. This woman was having a full
mental breakdown. She called her sister.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, it's possible that it was all compounded and it was a whole bunch of other stuff or whatever. But, like, Gabby was very straightforward, which is, there's a guy that was brought to here to this party. I said I like that guy. You said you're not trying. You're self-sabotaging. And, like, Gabby's like, no, but I like that guy. And Danielle's like, okay, well, I'm talking to him too. So why don't you go look for another guy? And Gabby's like, I don't want to look for another guy. And she's like, you know, I think your standards are way too high. And, like, you're really self-sabotaging. And Gabby's like, what the hell? I'm very clear. I like that guy that you're talking to. And rather than being a good friend and being like, okay, yeah, Gabby likes him. I just got fucked last night. Let me just, like, give this one to Gabby. You're like, you know what, Gabby? You can't have that guy, but you need to lower your standards for somebody else. Like, fuck off, Danielle. In the words of Paige, fuck you, Danielle.
Yeah, no, and I don't even like Paige. So siding with her, I was just like, yeah.
Paige is killing it. You're right, you're right. Unfortunately.
She really is.
Yeah.
Besides the fashion.
Yeah. What did you? Well, first of all, speaking of fashion, can we give a shout out to all of us girlies who love Old Navy, because they filmed a whole scene, filmed multiple scenes of Amanda, Sierra, and Paige, and, like, the Old Navy in, like, you know, Midtown, like the big Old Navy in Midtown. And I was like, first of all, that Old Navy has never been that clean ever. I've been in that Old Navy many times. Never that organized. Like, it was such a put on scene. But, like, as a girly who's literally head to toe in Old Navy right now, I'm like, yes, give Old Navy its flowers. It's a good brand.
Old Navy, when I think of Old Navy, I think of summer, like the 4th of July, like flip-flops. Like, they have the best deals when it comes to summer clothing. So, yeah, I did appreciate them shopping there.
Amanda, of course, makes one thing about Amanda, she's going to make something about herself. So here's Gabby having a hyperventilation moment. She's been upset with her friend Danielle, who she's actually close to. And Amanda's like, do you think Danielle thinks I'm stupid? Amanda, we're dealing with one other issue right now. And Amanda's like, but what about me? I think Danielle doesn't like me. It's like, well, if she doesn't, I guess. That's what it is. Like, I love Danielle for stuff like that because she's always going to put herself in a situation where I'm like, you weren't involved here, but good for you. It's good content.
And it was great to see them all with their alien in the context, like Amanda's like nose ring, like the bull ring. I was like, she should actually do that. It looks good on her.
Yeah, that's also my favorite part about Summer House is when they all are like in costume fighting. It's amazing. Yeah. None of these people have done like the right drugs, obviously. Also, like, I think everybody's drug levels are off. So that's why everyone's having these like erratic reactions to the thing, which I think is hilarious. What do you think about West and Sierra?
So I started off the season loving West, obviously, but I'm like kind of torn about how I'm feeling about West wanting to have sex with Sierra. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Sierra to me, I feel like she gives me the vibe that she's not that interested with West in a committed way. She's yeah. more interested in him in a fling way. And I think that Wes is going to get his feelings hurt. But now we're finding out next episode that he's texting other girls.
Yeah, look, he is hilarious. And he's very entertaining. But he is a former athlete and a sports journalist. Like, none of those things equal good person. So he might be masking it really well. It's like you said about like therapy. It's like he's a young guy. He's like a Gen Z guy who like knows feminism but doesn't necessarily and doesn't think that anything he's doing is wrong because he's like, you know, acknowledging people's boundaries and all that stuff. But, you know, somewhere in the back of his head, he's like, oh, these fucking feminists. I just want to fuck Sierra and I can't. Like, in his mind, he's like, no, of course I'm going to respect her boundaries. But somewhere in his mind, he seems like the kind of guy that was like, back in the day, I would never have to respect her boundaries. I'd just be able to fuck her and leave, right? Like, that's to me what it feels like with West. Love him, but I feel like that's there.
Well, he's self-aware. The fact that he said that I have to think about this relationship with Sierra because this is a person that I'm going to continuously see every day in the summer. Like, I think he's just very self-aware of his actions if he were to act on them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Any other thoughts about Summer House as we wrap up this episode?
No, not really. Besides, I hope Lindsay gets a good edit in the reunion.
I mean, honestly, like, I get Lindsay also being, like, so saying that she's blindsided is because Carl is it's evidence that Carl has not voiced any of these issues. Lindsay has act like an erratic, crazy person that she is. And Carl always says, like, I'm too scared to say anything to Lindsay. I'm afraid that it's going to get back to Lindsay. It's like his parents being like, oh, like, you're in an abusive relationship. I mean, is Lindsay a person who I think is capable of like verbally abusing a person? Yeah, we've seen it for like 10 seasons, right? But to say that like Carl is this like meek and like I'm just like trying to be a good guy and like he's a liar. He's a manipulator. He's not mm-hmm. ambitious and he's a deadbeat. He doesn't have a job, guys. Let's just say it again. Men gotta work, okay? You gotta get your ass to work. In the words of Kim Kardashian, nobody wants to work anymore. And Carl's one of them.
Oh my God. Quick back into Vanderpump Rules. The fact that Brock doesn't think he needs to work. And I'm like, don't you have two kids back in Australia that you need to pay child support? And the fact yeah. that Sheena was like, I want Summer Moon to have siblings. Bitch, she has siblings that she can meet in Australia.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay, I can't believe I forgot about that. Brock being like, so there are a lot of their problems stemming from the fact that Sheena is a breadwinner and Brock doesn't really have a job. He's just like floating from pool to pool in his budgie smugglers. Like, he's like yelling at Sheena. Okay, also like Sheena being like, look, I'm the person who's working, I'm the breadwinner, and I want to spend as much time with my kid. Makes sense because she's working. Brock doesn't have a job. So he's like, why can't we just like leave our kid with whoever and like go out for a night out? It's like, Because you don't have a job. What is going on, men? Get to work.
I hope they, like, Shishu is really getting a break these last two seasons, because we could have gone hard on Brock last year and we could have gone hard on Brock this year. I don't like how he's becoming a husbander around Sheena, basically producing her into being like, oh, you got to say this to Katie, or Katie needs to do this with Schwartz, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you just got here. And like, I know you don't have a job, but like, your job is not this. Like, go get paid somewhere else. And if you really want to produce, let's talk about the kids, your kids. Let's talk about your restraining order or whatever he had going on with his ex-wife.
Yeah. And then that's the other thing. Where are we on the back child support? Okay. How much have we paid? Okay. Where are we with that? Because Sheena just bought a house. She bought like a $2 million house in Sherman Oaks. Is it in Sheena's name? Because Brock has money that he owes to his ex-wife. So like, what? And like, he talks about it a little bit, right? Like, he does his like little like literal Australian alligator tears over like his like, you know, old family and how he was 19 and he wasn't there for his kids and all that stuff. And it's like, Sheena's right to be like, this is your second chance to be a good dad. But like, where are we with that, Brock? What are we doing?
You know, that's why Sheena doesn't want to go to the Valley. She doesn't want to go in the Valley because they're just going to put a telescope in their family, just like the rest of the family members in the Valley as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. On Vanderpump Rules, she gets to like skate by on being like, well, we're going to mostly talk about people as individuals and not as couples. Whereas in the Valley, it's going to be like, no, everyone's getting a divorce. Anything else? What else is on your mind? What else are you up to these days?
Besides me catching up on old original shows back on Bravo, I have been arguing with Taylor Swift fans online.
Yeah, man.
I'm not even arguing. If anything, I'm creeping around and seeing what people's thoughts are. And honestly, it's the Swifties need to calm down, the words of Miss Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Take her words to your graves. Okay. You need to calm down because you are getting too loud and it's too much. You're making it not fun for the rest of us. Like, we're all allowed to, like, I think also Swifties exist in a world where either you are a Swiftie or you fucking hate her. Like, you're not allowed to just be a person who's like, yeah, I think she's fine. Like, why? Is it because you're not a feminist? And it's like, she's just like, I think she's fine. I don't think she's like the greatest thing in the world. Like, I was at work and somebody came up to my desk and I had my AirPods in and they were like, are you on a call? I was like, no, I'm just listening to the new Taylor Swift album. And they're like, oh, are you going to go to her concert? And I was like, No. Just listen to music in my ears. I'm good.
That is 0 to 100. I am the same way where I'm like, I enjoy her music. I like the lyrics. Do I like the Easter eggs and the little drama that she likes to start on herself? Yes, I do. I think someone related her to like Stevie Nicks and Rumors and the whole Fleetwood Mac. Like,
yeah.
I love that shit where she's like, letting us know what happened in her relationship with Joe and sadly Matt Healy. But no, this was super cringe this whole entire week for Swifties to defend Taylor Swift. 31 songs. I like 10 of them out of that whole freaking album. I just think she's getting sloppy.
Also, they all kind of sound the same, don't they?
They do. Yeah. They do.
Yeah. Everybody's like, what is this music? What is this sound? I can't quite tell. I can't put my finger on it. It's like, oh, because it sounds like her other songs. It sounds like all of Folklore and what was the other one?
Evermore.
Yeah. It sounds like Evermore and Folklore, and it sounds like Lana Del Rey. Okay. What you really want to be listening to is Lana Del Rey.
Yeah. And also, I don't listen to 1975, but I had to just to see what type of guy Matty Healy is, and apparently Jack Antonoff like produces for 1975 too, so you hear that type of sounds in this album with Taylor Swift, where I'm just like, damn, was that dick really that good? Because I see Matt Healy and I'm like, no, hard pass.
I think that Taylor Swift probably would like to be with somebody like Matt Healy or Matty Healy, despite the fact that he is like a Nazi adjacent person, because she is somebody who grew up with like blonde, perfect ringlet curls, being like a country girl and like being America's sweetheart. And like, I think she's with, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I listened to that stupid song Alchemy, and when I realized it was about Travis Kelce, I was like, oh, this is good. This is funny. Like, it is funny. She's literally saying like, funny. we can't deny the chemistry between us, right? But I think that's a thing, like listening to that, it made me think like there's a part of her that is trying to deny the chemistry between them, because she is, look at me, I sound like a fucking Swiftie. Because she's the kind of person who wouldn't want to be with somebody who fits so perfectly into American sweetheart mold. Like them together, that is an American dream. A blonde, two blonde white people, good looking, conventionally attractive, tall white people who are famous, the football player and the pop star together. Like that is like so Americana that I feel like Miss Americana does not want to be Miss Americana. She wants to be with a deadbeat piece of shit like Matty Healy. But she can't because she's Taylor Swift.
I really do think, and I think, I can't get rid of the parallels of her and Britney now, because I see it in her where she just wants to break the mold and she doesn't want to be Miss Americana. She doesn't want to like be in this eye of her daddy and her mom, because her mom and dad are the ones who manage basically everything in her life. I really do think that, like, yeah, she was like, let me be a piece of shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, like she, I don't know. I really do think that she's in her rebel area, especially with the Reputation album that we're going to have to endure, which is another thing that I can go off and on about, because the fact that she came out with this album of like rehashing, you know, the whole Kim and talking about Maddie, I'm like, so what do you have left over for Reputation? Because that's another album that's like scorn and hate and rehash.
Yeah. So. Is she just gonna do a re-release of Reputation? Is that what she's doing?
We have no idea. I mean, that's what we're expected of. Like, the Reputation is to be re-released next because of her rights with Scooter Braun. Yeah.
You know, I need a break.
She needs a break. She needs a break.
It's the round the clock Taylor Swiftness of it all. I also saw a TikTok where somebody was like, why are you singing about these boys like you're in high school? You're an adult. We know you fuck. Like, talk about fucking in your songs. And I'm like, you know what? I would love that. If she was like, I love dirty Nazi dick. And I'll be like, you know what? At least she said it. Anyway, Van, what do you have going on your podcast, and where can everybody find you? Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. I have so much fun talking to you, especially Bravo content. And speaking of Bravo content, I'm going to actually have you on soon. We're going to talk about Shaws of Sunset on my Patreon, so please sign up for that. Other than that, you can find me on Best Week Ever Podcast on Instagram, and also wherever you stream your favorite podcast, where we discuss who's having the worst and best week ever in pop culture.
I would love to talk about who's having the best and worst time on Shaws of Sunset.
I can't wait, because, you know, I've never watched. MJ fan from Traitors. I'm watching it this weekend, like the whole, and I'm kind of scared because I heard it's a lot of drama. Mm-hmm. And I do remember clips of MJ and the whole pool scene, that pool party, and the nasty words that were said. I do remember that, but that's all I pretty much know of the show.
Yeah. I can't wait. Shaws of Sunset is a show where, like, it was another one like The Valley, where I was like, all these people are inarguably terrible people. I would like to keep watching this. You know, that's what it is. Well, I can't wait to talk to you about it. Guys, please go follow Van everywhere, and I will talk to you next time.